If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Visit Dallas and Visit Fort Worth and Touchdown Trips. We're here with our mock draft special ahead of the big day in old Jerry Jones' world. It's going to be so exciting. I cannot wait. Thursday night, the draft is here. Clancy and Sherry join us as we pick through the first round. This is the Gridiron Show. I'm not going to lie, that was second attempt at the intro, and it's still a little ropey, purely because the first time I said it, I said visit Dallas, and Ollie absolutely lost his mind. It was very funny, but Ollie might start giggling at any point during these opening 5 minutes of the show. This is the Gridiron Show in association with Visit Dallas and Fort Worth, and also with Touchdown Trips. Dallas, obviously the site, Dallas-Fort Worth, the site this year of the NFL draft, AT&T Stadium. If you've not seen the pictures of how that theatre's going to work inside and the crowd as well, it's going to be absolutely spectacular. But, I mean, Ollie, you're a man who spent some time in Dallas and Fort Worth when we went on our trip 2 years ago. And if you've not been before, it's a spectacular pair of cities.
Oh, yeah. And you've got Arlington in the middle, almost equidistant between the two. Dallas is this big, sprawling metropolis, thank you, and amazing cityscape, really, really pleasant place, you know, beautiful countryside as well. And then Fort Worth is this picture postcard American city, just a stunning downtown, really, really beautiful. And then just outside is an amazing sort of country and western area. Luckily, I didn't see any country music, but I saw some rock blues music at this amazing place.
But, I mean, if you love country music, there's a lot of that
as
well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a country music guy, but there's a lot of all of that as well. You could get Stetsons. Every other shop is like a cowboy hat shop. I really, really loved Texas. I didn't think I'd like Texas before I went there. And then I went there and I loved it. So it's I could definitely see Texas as being a place in the States that I would like to live.
And also, if you're a sports fan, Dallas Cowboys,
yep.
Texas Rangers, you got the rodeo year round, it's literally a Dallas Mavericks in the basketball, NASCAR, IndyCar,
Is there NHL, the Stars as
there's,
well?
Honestly, it's got the Rangers at Globe Life Park, the Stars, you would say, at the American Airlines Center, FC Dallas as well, and
owned by Lamar Hunt.
Also, amazing food.
Oh, my God, the food is unbelievable. And key, right? Fort Worth has an In-N-Out burger joint. Oof. I think it might be the furthest east In-N-Out burger joint in the whole of the United States. So for that reason alone, you could go there. It's a great, great place. I love Dallas-Fort Worth.
So if you're thinking about taking a trip out there, Touchdown Trips are the guys to do it with. We'll have some more information about our tour coming up later in the show. Head to visitdallas.com or fortworth.com for more. Right, should we get into this mock draft and get Sherry and Clancy on the line?
Is there any news we need to talk about?
Not really.
No, okay, so let's
Literally, it's all just draft bluster and nonsense.
Guff.
This is the season of guff.
Every season's the season of guff for you, buddy.
Good one, mate. This is the Gridiron Show, and here are Clancy and Sherry. So let's crack on with our 2018 mock draft. Then Matt, Sherry, Simon, Clancy have joined me and Ollie on the line. Morning, gents.
Greetings.
Good morning, guys.
How excited are you guys now that we're at this time of recording? What, like 36, 39 hours out from the draft starting?
I'm so bored of listening to people going, this is happening, so-and-so's falling, this is happening, this is happening. It's not, all right? It's been happening for weeks. Just start it.
We don't know. No one knows anything. We don't know anything.
Seriously.
Get on with it.
Listen, people are saying, oh, the Giants are doing this and the Browns are doing... Dave Gettleman and John Dorsey are essentially CIA agents. They don't tell you anything. That's why you know nothing. So having people on social media go, I know this, and I spoke to a scout who talked... No, you didn't, mate. You didn't. Stop talking out your ear.
Which is why...
In fairness, though, it's going to make the kind of... I mean, Sam, I've already chatted about this, but at least the first few picks are going to be more interesting than usual. Like, there's nothing... I can't remember the last draft where a guy's going to walk to the... Goodell's going to walk to the podium and basically we have no idea who he's going to say is the first pick. Like,
well, there's always, always those pivot points in drafts, aren't there? There's always that moment where there is a team who could do one of innumerate things, and that's where all mock drafts immediately go out of the window. This year it's at 2, so it's great. I'm excited. You know,
it could even be at 1. I mean, I think there'll be so many trades as well in the top 15, so many trades. You know, because look,
I'm amazed that we've not had anything this far out, and by the time this is out, that could be out of date. But
do you not think because it's so unpredictable, how like there's going to be more on the night trades than there usually would be?
You've got potentially four teams: Buffalo, Arizona, potentially Baltimore, potentially New England, maybe Miami. That's five teams, in fact, who could all jump up into the top six, top four.
And who knows, like, whether the Chargers might do that, or maybe the even the Bengals. I mean, there's some other teams outside of the more obvious ones who might do it as well.
So with all that in mind, we're not having trades in our mock draft. basically, what we're here to do, I don't like people that don't like mock drafts. I think the whole point of a mock draft isn't to literally guess who somebody is going to pick. They're boring, those mock drafts, and actually never accurate, as we all know. But it's a great way of learning the top prospects, finding out what team needs are. And so we're going to rattle through this first round and forget the bluster, forget all the nonsense we've heard. We're just going to pick the player that we think that team should pick at that position, based on our own scouting, well, Simon and Matt scouting, based on, you know, what we believe that team actually needs, the New York Giants. So yeah, we're going to crack on, and we're going to start off, we're going to pair up. Me and Clancy are going to be the director of player personnel and the GM, I guess, for one team, and then Ollie and Sherry. If those were the pairings in real life, who would have the more success?
Definitely you.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, I can probably go all right in the first round and a half to two rounds, but after that, like...
And beyond that, you've got to rely on the organisation of Ollie, who yet again managed to be 9 minutes late to this podcast.
Ollie. Prospects in the game and turn up 3 hours after it's finished.
Right, the Cleveland Browns, number one overall. They need basically everything.
Everyone!
But
they don't.
No, they don't need everyone. Simon, let me talk.
Stop spreading this misnomer.
No, Simon... They don't need everyone. They clearly don't need everyone at any position, but there are a lot of positions of need for this team. And right at the top of the draft, we've got blue chip running backs, defensive ends, quarterbacks, but we all know they're taking a quarterback at number one. Or do we? Simon Clancy, I think we should go quarterback at number one. I think it'd be madness for them to wait and see if their second choice falls to them at four. So, at number one overall, who do you think is the best fit for the Cleveland Browns?
I think it will be Sam Darnold, but I know because Peter King did an interview with John Dorsey a while ago, and Dorsey had said that he'd been to see Baker Mayfield play six times last season when he wasn't working for anybody, but he was working for himself, knowing that he was going to get back in the game as either a director of pro personnel or a general manager. Going to watch a single quarterback six times is an inordinately high amount of games to go and watch anybody by. So whilst I think we should choose Sam Darnold, on the night, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Baker Mayfield.
But who are you choosing?
We are choosing Sam Darnold, USC quarterback.
Sam Darnold goes number one overall to the Cleveland Browns. The New York Giants up next, Ollie Hunter.
Giants, will they stick with Eli Manning for another year? Is the need for a quarterback that big? Yes, I think it is, because Eli Manning, we saw, has dropped off. Trading away Jason Pierre-Paul could mean that Nick Chubb is thought of, and everybody seems to be mocking. Is it mocking? Can we call it mocking? Mocking Saquon Barkley to the Giants. Matt Sherry, I think if Baker Mayfield is still there, perhaps the Giants should do that, but I don't think they will. What do you think the New York Giants will do?
I don't think they will. I think they'll take Darnold if he's available. But as the GM of the Giants for this exercise, who knows that Eli Manning is finished, I will take Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield in the New York market. Exciting stuff. I mean, you guys are both incredibly high on Baker Mayfield. And I think what we can assess from the podcast overall is none of us really like Josh Allen, as you'll find out as we go along. But why isn't Baker Mayfield getting that kind of same draw at the top end as somebody like Sam Darnold, or all this talk of Josh Allen going number one? Is it just smoke screens, or are there actually concerns about him?
I mean, I have no idea. I think there's a significant gap between Mayfield and every other prospect.
I think, I mean, the thing about Allen is that he is the prototype in terms of size, speed, arm strength, obviously, which is ridiculous. But Baker Mayfield is 6 foot and played in a shotgun offense, but a kind of derivative of Mike Leach's offense. But to me, he's a significantly better quarterback. He's accurate. He throws into tight windows. And Josh Allen can't hit open receivers in big windows in that Wyoming offense. How is he going to be in tight NFL windows? I mean, for me, it's not a discussion.
The thing is with Mayfield as well, and I mean, Pro Football Focus are hardly the benchmark, but some of their stats are clearly very interesting. And they have him leading accuracy percentage in terms of tight window throws by a good distance as well. So even when he does have to make those throws that aren't wide open, he's the best at doing it. I mean, I think he's ahead of the rest, with Darnold as the closest to him. But I think there's a decent gap between him and Darnold as well.
So given that Josh Allen can't make wide open, can't get to wide open receivers in that Wyoming offense, that's where the Jets are going to go, right, Will Gavin?
So the New York Jets, they can't have traded up to 3 for anything but a quarterback. They claimed that they didn't mind being at 3 because there's at least 3 guys that they like. Well, now that is going to be tested, Simon Clancy.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that makes me concerned is that, I don't know, Teddy Bridgewater. Why do you make a move for Teddy Bridgewater if you're going to then draft a quarterback? But then why would you trade up for 3 if you're not going to take a quarterback? So in the back of my mind is will they take Saquon Barkley? Will they take Bradley Chubb? But I kind of think it's going to be a quarterback. And so for our mock draft, it will be Josh Rosen of UCLA.
Because that's another one. Josh Rosen, who has, from everything I've seen and heard and enjoyed, and I don't know if anyone heard the interview, the kind of extensive 20 minutes or so he did with ESPN in the past couple of weeks. It was excellent. I know that there's this, you know, the idea that somebody who wears F. Trump on his on a bandana won't be liked by NFL teams. But I there's nothing about Josh Rosen which doesn't make me think that he has everything he needs to succeed at the next level.
Do you think that Sam Darnold and the Cleveland Browns owners share the same political outlook on life? Do you think that Sam Darnold's been running his own podcast for 4 years. Do you think that Sam Darnold doesn't have interests outside of football? I think Josh Rosen's being heavily criticised for what he said in an article a couple of years ago around having the hot tub in his apartment as an 18-year-old kid, as a West Coast Californian kid, millionaire parents. His mother is the head of a very successful publishing house. I think his father's a lawyer. You know, he is an interesting person who has interests outside of football. He's very intelligent. But people weren't talking about Andrew Luck and his interest in the inside of a hot air balloon when he was doing his aeronautical engineering degree or whatever it was. Rosen is of an equally large brain. He just has interests that go beyond football. Doesn't mean to say he doesn't like the game any less. So I think he's been treated really harshly in this process. I also don't think that the comments from his old head coach Jim Mora Jr. helped a great deal when asked which quarterback would you pick, and he said, "I'd choose Sam Darnold." Well, over the guy that you recruited and you spent 3 years with. I mean, that sort of blew a lot of people's minds, I think. But I don't believe this Josh Rosen is falling narrative, and I suspect he will go in the top 5 or 6 picks.
His father is actually a spine surgeon who was previously nationally ranked ice skater.
That's
information that you can find in Gridiron Magazine. but I mean, the interesting thing with Rosen to me is, like, at the end of the day, this whole kind of rich kid succeed, it seems to be, I think, a little bit based on Johnny Manziel and how that all flamed out. But It's not like Peyton Manning was brought up in a shanty town, is it? Like, ridiculous.
Let's move back to the Cleveland Browns then with Ollie and with Matt Sherry.
Yeah, so Darnold is off the board. Some crazy person I saw yesterday said that they could take two quarterbacks. That's not going to happen. There's a need at running back, perhaps Saquon Barkley. Also, oh, how sexy would it be pairing Myles Garrett with Nick Chubb? Let's see. What
Bradley
do...
Chubb.
That's the one as well. Bradley, his brother.
I mean, you could play Nick Chubb as a pass rusher. I'm not sure it'd be great, but...
What will the Cleveland Browns do at number four? Matthew Sherry.
It's a really... This is a really tough one for me. I tend to err towards going in this... As the Cleveland Browns, I err towards going for who I think is the safest pick. And that makes me think I could choose Roquan Smith, but they don't massively have a need at linebacker. So I'm going to go for Quentin Nelson, the guard, who I think is not sexy at all. But I think I've said on this podcast multiple times now, I don't believe in drafting a running back this high unless he is the absolute missing piece. And I'm not convinced that Cleveland are that close for a running back to be the absolute missing piece.
Yeah, given they traded for Carlos Hyde, or they acquired
Carlos Hyde. Yeah, exactly. But I just think like their offensive line wasn't as good as I thought it would be last year. And I just think Quentin Nelson is the safest pick in the draft at a position where they could do with it an upgrade. So that's what I'd go
for. I don't mind the interior of their line necessarily. They clearly need, obviously, tackle help after Joe Staley. I prefer the idea of them going with a pass rusher and pairing them, like Ollie was saying, but I don't mind it at all. And the idea of protecting a new young quarterback is great and everything. I do hate the idea of them taking Saquon Barkley, even if he is as good as he's meant to be, just because I just think my same reasoning with running backs at the top in general, I guess, but you aren't that close to being a Super Bowl team. We spoke with Brian Billick on the last show, and for them, getting a running back ended up being the difference between them being a Super Bowl team and not. That's not true of the Browns. The shorter shelf life scares me. Go and get a blue chip player at a blue chip position, but I'm fine with them picking a guard as well. That's all with me.
John Dorsey's philosophy is left tackle, quarterback, defensive end, cornerback. So take that as you will.
Well, I think you've already told us how to take it. the Denver Broncos, probably they need defensive back help at this point with Aqib Talib sent to the Rams. They traded for Jared Veldheer, but I still think they need extra at tackle and potentially a starter at guard. I don't know if the other end of the line, Shane Ray's been inconsistent on the other side of the line. They could do with a tight end as well, but it might be a bit early for that. So Clancy, there's lots of potential need in Denver, but are they going to go and get their quarterback of the future? Are we going to see four go off the board in the first five?
I mean, in the real world, I very much suspect this will be a trade. And in fact, I think Cleveland might trade out of four as well, potentially, which makes this more difficult. I would suspect that having lost Aqib Talib and with Chris Harris, you know, going up in age, it wouldn't surprise me if they took a cornerback here. Minkah Fitzpatrick for me is the best defensive back, but I think Minkah's best position is actually safety, and I think Denver obviously need a cornerback, so I would say Denzel Ward of Ohio State would be the pick here.
Ohio State corner, Denzel Ward going to the Denver Broncos. Let's rattle through a few here. The Indianapolis Colts up next. We joked about the Browns needing everything. Ollie, the Colts.
They literally need everything. You could even make an argument because of how Andrew Luck has been off for a year. They still don't know whether he can throw properly. He hasn't picked up a full-size Duke ball yet. They're not going to. But you could make an argument that they need another quarterback. That's not what they're going to do. They could even trade out of number six. But edge, linebacker, offensive line, defensive tackle, defensive back, cornerback, they need everything. What are they going to do, Matt Sherry?
They're going to pick Roquan Smith, who is the tone-setting linebacker that they need. And to me, the more I watch him, the more I think he might be the best player in the draft.
Absolute stud.
I am desperate for him to fall to the 49ers. I know it's not going to happen.
I would be stunned if the Colts didn't take him. I must admit.
Yeah, just because I'm desperate for it to happen doesn't mean it will happen, guys. But, you know, I just A boy can dream. A boy can absolutely dream. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, looking at the board as it stands, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could be the happiest team in all of draftdom because Doug Martin has departed, which means finding a new running back is very much on the to-do list. It's not the only need they have. They could do with help at corner at the back. Brent Grimes signed a one-year deal, but he's, what, like 75 now? They did a lot to help themselves at pass rush over this past year, so pass rush might not be the best position, but there is still a big-name player there. So where are they going to go, Clancy?
They're going to take Derwin James, the safety from Florida State.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad, Sherry. You don't need to cry about it.
I know that Derwin James is a player that you love. And off the back of the injury, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we were talking about this guy being the best possible player coming into this draft. You still confident he'll come up to this level and step up to the NFL level?
Listen, he didn't play badly last season. You watch his first game back against Alabama and he played really, really well. He had a dip in the middle of the season. Ended strongly because he got more confidence in the knee. But you go back to the first season at FSU, and he was an absolutely, you know, you look at him and you think Ed Reed, but more athletic. I mean, he is an absolutely, so he's 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a tight end eliminator. You could probably play him at cornerback if you wanted to. You could certainly play him in the slot. You can play him at weak side linebacker. You can play him at strong safety in the box. You can play him single high as a free safety. What you can do with Derwin James is phenomenal, and he is going to be a long-time all-pro player. And I spoke to his agent, David Mulgetter, a couple of nights ago, and let's just say the Florida teams are very interested, notably the Buccaneers.
Well, there you go. I thought you just said that teams, all the bluster that we hear is nonsense, and now you're... Yeah,
if you go straight to the horse's mouth, Willie... That's a bit different.
Oh, because agents aren't famous for their bluster and for actually putting out rumours, etc. at all, are they, mate?
I mean, I've had a long relationship with him. He's the agent of Earl Thomas. He probably will sign deals next year for around $40 million for one player. So he kind of knows his stuff. I don't think he'd mess me around. I also know that Derwin didn't take any visits at all. Certainly didn't work out for any teams. They refused to do so. And the minimal number of visits he took, Tampa Bay was one of the most significant. Let's just say that. I mean, you can try and shoot me down all you like, but let's see what happens on Thursday night. Yeah, and you can get back to next week.
I thought that was a bit snidey, Will.
I mean, I thought this was meant to be where we were doing what we thought they should do, not what they would do, but that's fine. Clancy's brought in his knowledge and we've gone with it. Ollie Hunter, Dubbers.
I think there's a bit of angst, a bit of spikiness going on in the other team, Sherry. At least we are working in harmony, Mon Brave.
Beautiful harmony.
Exactly. Bears.
A retro player personnel.
Sherry, join. Sherry Clancy, join us. the Bears. I think they've worked out that they've got their starting cornerbacks. There's always that need for the edge rusher. Josh Sitton leaving, departing. There's a need on the line. I think Mitch Trubisky is going to need all the help he can get because I don't think he's very good. So what will the Bears do, Matt Sherry?
This would be a tough one because I think they're desperate for Quentin Nelson to fall. And that is, along with Roquan Smith to the Colts, probably the pick I'm most confident will happen. So the board really hasn't fell as I would like it to, as the Bears GM on the day, which again leads me to go to the strategy of picking who I think is the safest player at this point. They don't need a running back, so they're definitely not going to take Saquon Barkley. That's probably their best position. I'm going to go for Minka Fitzpatrick for the Bears. You'd think about Bradley Chubb, but I'm not sure how much he's going to fit Vic Fangio's scheme. And I think Fangio would love to have somebody like Fitzpatrick who he can have as his movable chess piece. So that is who I'm picking.
Now, the San Francisco 49ers are sitting here basically devastated that every defensive back that is considered a top-tier player is already off the board. But sat there looking and saying, we've drafted a lot of D-line already over recent years, but we don't really have an edge guy. Can Chubb be a guy who can play alongside that line, alongside all that other first-round talent they've got? Will that work there? They clearly need corner help. That's been obvious, but I'm worried that you've taken all the corner help away. Could they go for weapons to help their new top-tier blue-chip quarterback?
You're a weapon.
I am a weapon, you're right. So Yes, Simon Clancy. I mean, two of the players expected to go in the top four are still sat on the board here. Do you think that they're tempted by either of these guys?
I mean, I assume, and you know more about this than I do, Willie, because you see them every week. I assume that you guys are lining up with Arik Armstead and Solomon Thomas at end. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, but I think you could easily suggest that one of those takes a step inside. The problem is that in Thomas was brilliant last year, and Arik Armstead had his flashes and his moments. I still think you could line somebody opposite Thomas and have Armstead as a guy to rotate into the line, a guy who can play inside where DeForest Buckner is. Solomon Thomas can do the same. I think flexibility there isn't a problem at all. And right now they don't have a pure edge-bending guy.
But you're going to have to put, essentially, Chubb is going to have to, I assume in this system, Chubb is going to have to play at least some linebacker.
You'd have thought so, yeah.
So then is it not best, especially with the issues that are happening with Reuben Foster, who I suspect will get cut, that Tremaine Edmonds would not make more sense here? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
Tremaine Edmonds probably does make more sense. I'm getting there are stars in my eyes over the idea of getting a guy who we would have almost no hope of getting in real life.
But okay, well, let's go then. Pick nine, just to make you feel happy. San Francisco 49ers, Tremaine Edmonds, because you were so mean.
I'm all right with it. Tremaine Edmonds I'm desperate, as I already said, for our Roquan Smith to fall there. But Tremaine Edmonds or one of those defensive backs, any of those kind of positions, I'm happy with. As long as they go defense in this early stage, I'm all good. Raiders.
I quite like that.
Other side of the bay.
I think the Raiders could have been looking at that Tremaine Edmonds and thinking, drat, we should have traded up. Needs linebacker. I think cornerback probably, given that they tried to move Obi Metafonwu in there and it didn't quite work, and they haven't really got anyone who's taken the ball away. They were the worst team in the league for doing that last year. Could they perhaps pick Pacey from Dawson's Creek, Joshua Jackson? I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But, Matthew Sherry, what do you think will happen?
What I think will happen is they'll take, I mean, the two best linebackers are gone, and I think it might be a little bit early for Rashaan Evans. What I would do in this situation, because I think the Raiders under John Gruden have a chance to be much better than they were last year pretty quickly, is I'm going to take Saquon Barkley off the board finally, because I just don't think Gruden would be able to help himself here. And I would just love to see that match of him going to the Raiders. I think that would be fun.
I mean, honestly, if he's there and he doesn't take him, I think it would be the biggest shock humanly possible. It's the most Raiders of all picks. Having gone and signed Doug Martin and kept Marshawn Lynch around, I have to say, I am 10,000% less convinced about the job that John Gruden's going to do. He's a man motivator, but other than that, got no interest in him as a coach.
He is one of the greatest players that I have ever seen.
So, that's all he says. I mean, should I just do this, Simon Clancy? In fact, I'm going to. The Miami Dolphins, Simon Clancy.
So, they need
Should we go get a tight end?
Yeah.
They need a tight end. They need a defensive tackle. They need a three-down linebacker. And they probably need a Derwin James, Minka Fitzpatrick type safety. But if Bradley Chubb is on the board here, it's pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, they've got a lot of defensive ends, but William Hayes is 33, Cameron Wake is 36. So Bradley Chubb is not going to get to this position. But if he does, you'd run up to the podium and hand his name in. So therefore, the Miami Dolphins at 11 take Bradley Chubb defensive end.
Suddenly not picking him for the 49ers two picks ago makes a lot more sense to me.
Mate, I'd rather take Tremaine Edmonds, but
well, maybe there can be some kind of post-draft Rivers Manning trade situation going on if our respective GMs regret what they've done in the first round. Buffalo, who I think are absolutely one of the prime candidates to use those two first round picks they've got and go and move up into second, fourth. Yeah. Fifth, if the quarterback the Broncos don't want is still there, the Colts at sixth, any of those positions, but they're still here at 12. Ollie.
Yeah, they've got needs all over the shop. Offensive line, wide receiver, safety, linebacker, but with those two picks and the fact that a couple of quarterbacks, two or three quarterbacks have fallen to pick number 12. I expect a quarterback here, Matthew Sherry.
And I would run to the podium and select Lamar Jackson immediately. So I think he'll be a great fit under Brian Daboll, who was the offensive coordinator at Alabama last year, so kind of really got into learning the spread system. And I mean, the more I watch Jackson, the more I think he is close to being other than Mayfield, the quarterback I personally would take next, because I just think the sky is the limit if he gets among the right coaching staff. I really, really do. And yeah, that's definitely who I would take in this spot.
He's electric, isn't he? And if you pair him, the danger he has on the ground with LeSean McCoy, who is a beast up the middle, then, I mean, that could be really, really sexy.
I think
It really could. Game-changingly sexy.
The fit has obvious potential.
Which no one said about the Buffalo Bills.
The idea, and yeah, there is that. It's a headline grabber for a Buffalo Bills team who haven't had a lot of those at quarterback over the recent years. But the only kind of concern is that with AJ McCarron as their other option there, who I know Matt's higher on than most people, but
everyone.
Yeah. Is Lamar Jackson a week one starter?
I've said with McCarron that, like, I'm intrigued to see what he can offer because I don't think we've seen it yet. But yeah, I mean, if they selected Jackson, they should just let a training camp battle play out and see how it goes. Simple as that. And with Jackson having every chance to win the job.
Let's turn our attention then to Washington. I think they need... if you look at their front, I really like their linebackers, but I think on the front they could do with either getting younger at pass rusher or a good stout, like run stopper involved in that situation. And there are some decent defensive linemen at the moment. Another team who... with the departure of corners, could do with some defensive back help. They could also do with some help on the offensive line as well. A lot of these positions are getting pretty repetitive. I think at guard probably is the position that they've got a potential for going as well. And then if there's, I don't know, I think there's an obvious pick for me here of taking a big stout lineman up front, a big defensive tackle, and there's a couple of them on the board. That's where I would go, Simon Clancy.
I mean, they could take Will Hernandez. They could take Isaiah Wynn. They could take either Jair Alexander or Mike Hughes. But I am going with Vita Vea of Washington, who will play. I mean, ideally, he's going to be a three technique or a one gap kind of penetrator. But I think he could fit perfectly in this Washington defensive line.
That is exactly who I would have picked as well, buddy. We're back in sync after a few rough moments. we're back on the right page. This is setting up beautifully. People have been picking for their own team so far, and we're with the Packers and with Ollie Hunter.
Oh my goodness. I think, of course, more depth needed at offensive tackle. Cornerback, we took a cornerback with our first pick in Kevin King last year. Demarius Randall has gone to the Browns. There is always a need there. There's an obvious need at wide receiver. I'd love Courtland Sutton, but I think 14 may be too high for him. But quite clearly, the biggest need of all is either outside or inside linebacker. Matt Sherry, is there anyone at 14? Would that be a bit of a reach for whoever's left on the board?
No, he wouldn't. I mean, I think Rashawn Evans will be in play there. I'm not taking him, though, because I think they can get a linebacker in the second round. With the way the Packers play offense, which is essentially hoping and praying that their wide receivers are good enough to get open on their own, they need guys who can run routes. And Calvin Ridley is one of the best route runners I've ever seen in college football, maybe the best. So I would select him in a heartbeat. And I think Ridley is better than people are suggesting. Like, I would have no hesitation picking him in the top 10.
This idea that there aren't good wide receivers in this draft just because there's not a top five, top tier, absolute must-hit-on talent there, I think is a bit bizarre. There is the issue of the fact that most of the first-round guys from the last three or four drafts haven't been particularly successful, but you're right. I think the things that you need to be successful at the NFL level are route running, separation, and being able to catch with outstretched hands, not being a body catcher. And it looks to me like Calvin really does all those things. So,
Sherry, you've made a Green Bay Packer fan very happy, because with the Jordy Nelson leaving, who was a really, really good route runner, that's exactly what the Green Bay Packers need. So well done.
Also, I think the narrative around wide receivers is that there's not anybody who has the size of a Julio Jones, apart from Sutton, for example. But you look at, for me, the best receivers in this draft. Calvin Ridley, 6 foot. Christian Kirk, 6 foot one, just about. Anthony Miller, 6 foot one. DJ Moore, 6 foot one and a half. These guys are not your prototype NFL modern 2018 receivers in terms of, you know, height, because they can also play inside as well as outside. And there are actually some questions about whether or not these guys are better suited inside in the slot than they are outside, which is making people a little bit nervous about. So then you're looking at Cortland Sutton at 6 foot three, 6 foot four, Michael Gallup at 6 foot three. You know, Gallup especially is somebody that you take a bit of a flyer on, but the better receivers are actually the smaller receivers in this year's draft, and I think people are a bit worried about projecting small, in inverted commas, wide receivers.
What do you think of James Washington Clancelot? Because I've watched him a lot in the last 2 days and I'm convinced that he should go in the first round.
Do you? I mean, I like him. I think he's a good route runner. I think he's a really good route runner. I think he was excellent at the Senior Bowl. There's just something about him that, and I wonder whether it's not systematic of the offense that he played in, where I don't know. I think he's probably a second round pick. Just for me, I just prefer the reliability of more. I think Anthony Miller is going to be potentially the best of these receivers. I just think he's absolutely superb. You know, watch him for Memphis and, you know, every single game he just takes over the game before he got injured. So I think Washington probably goes in that second round area.
This could kick off a run of wide receivers. The Arizona Cardinals, I think, will be a bit gutted to see Ridley off the board. There is a particularly interesting pick here, and I think there are other positions. I mean, as we've said almost all the time, O-line they need help with. They could do with some help at wide receiver. Larry Fitzgerald coming to the end of his career, and they've lost some of their speed guys, their deep guys. Tyrann Mathieu going means that they probably need help at safety and corner. But there is, I know that none of us are particularly high on him here, but with picking up Sam Bradford in the summer, they're clearly a team who could trade up looking for a quarterback. Could this be the landing spot for Josh Allen, a guy who, if he's going to learn from somebody, I quite like the idea of him learning from Sam Bradford.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Josh Allen here. I mean, let's be realistic. He's not probably not going to fall this far anyway, but, you know, if he did. And also, you know, there's a possibility of Arizona trading up high into the first round to take a quarterback. So if somebody like Allen was to fall to them here, I mean, we'd be mad not to take him. So the pick here would be Josh Allen of Wyoming.
Done. Speedy. Ravens.
I like that pick because I think the Ravens could have done that given Allen's big arm compared
exactly
to Joe Flacco's big arm.
Yeah. I would have picked him for the Ravens just because he's quite similar to early Flacco as well. So yeah, it's clearly a fit in that sense. And
see, that is synergy there. Yeah.
All right, that's, mate.
But yeah, there's well, been I'm synergy
but
all the
you
way.
You can't pick him. So who are you going to pick?
Yeah, go on, Sherry. Who will the Ravens pick?
I mean, I think the Ravens need to get back to domination on defense. I mean, they need wide receivers as well. But how many wide receivers?
Wasn't it? But wasn't it last year they went crazy defensive with all their high picks? So they've got a lot of young talent on that defense that potentially could step up in year two.
Yeah, this is a really tough one for me, to be honest.
Tight end. If I was going to suggest another position, we've not seen any off the board at this point.
It's wide receiver or tight end, but it's too early for any of the tight ends.
I mean, given that Gesicki is more of a wide receiver than a tight end, could they do be mad and go for him, or is that
no,
is
it's way too high?
Okay, way
too high. I mean, I think you could get him in the second round at a similar spot.
None of the tackles are off the board as well, and it's not been an area that the Ravens have been strong in recent times.
Oh, except they've got
they took Ronnie Stanley, didn't they? But
yeah, exactly.
They could do with the right tackle opposite him.
I am going to go for. See, their defense, they've got a new coordinator. The defense is always pretty good, though. And I go for DJ Moore. They need wide receiver help.
DJ Moore. How are you spelling
any
that?
Any of the guys.
is that
I don't believe in any of the guys that they've signed at wide receiver, really. I quite like Crabtree, but yeah, I'm going to go for him. They need to get. Well, they need to start scoring some points.
Sneed, they brought in Sneed recently as well, but yeah.
They did. I'm changing my pick. I forgot about Willie Sneed.
DJ, I was all ready to say DJ Moore stays in Maryland. I was all excited, but all right, go on.
Do you know what? I'm going to draft a pass. No, I'm not.
What are you doing? I never know what you're doing back there.
I was thinking about Harold Landry and going for a pass rush specialist. Let's go for Rashaad Evans, who to me is one of the surface picks in the draft. They get a middle linebacker that is better than the slightly overrated middle linebacker they got from Alabama, whose name has escaped my mind. And they need a linebacker. They need to get better on defense. So I'm going to go for Rashaad Evans.
Well done, buddy. Right. Pick 17, Los Angeles Chargers, Willie.
Aren't you now disappointed that you couldn't do a Simon Clancy and try and sort out a situation where Rashaad Evans fell to the Patriots?
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of why I didn't want to pick him.
I mean, mate, I don't want Bradley Chubb, so...
Oh, I'm kidding, buddy. Wow, here we go. Right, lots of tackles still on the board for the Los Angeles Chargers. Russell Okung and Joe Barksdale, do not do it for me in any way, shape or form. They're a team who, if there is a quarterback available to them at this point, behind Philip Rivers, he is aging. They are one of those sneaky teams who might be in the quarterback mix. Also, safety, Trey Boston, a free agent. They could do with a safety at this point. So, I mean, safety or tackle would be the two positions that I would be particularly leaning towards here, Simon Clancy.
Yeah, I mean, smart people keep saying Mike McGlinchey is going to go top 10. If McGlinchey's available at pick 17, he has to be the pick. Has to be. He's the best left tackle in the draft, and, you know, away we go.
Is he? He's the best left tackle in the draft, but is he a good left tackle?
Yeah, he is a good left tackle. You know, he's a fundamentally solid player. You know, he might be better suited as a right tackle. He might be Jack Conklin, but he's absolutely going to play at left tackle, certainly to start with. I mean, for me, Isaiah Wynn of Georgia is the best person to play left tackle in this draft, but I'm pretty sure that he will be played as a guard because he's 6'2". Therefore, for me, McGlinchey is the guy.
I was thinking the other one was Deron Payne of throwing into the mix on the defensive line, somebody on the interior to help those amazing edge rushers. But yeah, tackle is the right pick. Let's head to Seattle and the Seahawks.
Yeah, the Seahawks, they've let Sherman go. Thomas is going to be a free agent next season. They let Michael Bennett go. So across the entirety of that defensive backfield and linebacking core, they need help there. Offensive line is shoddy at best. So what are they going to do, Matt?
They're definitely going to draft an offensive lineman. If I'm the GM, I mean, they probably won't.
I hate it.
Difficult one, really.
I hate it. Of their offensive linemen are top three round picks. They need to... The coaching is the issue on their offensive line, not talent.
Yeah, and they've got a new coach, but just because the high picks doesn't mean they're good players, and they're not. And the problem is, I mean, you look at the way that the Saints built around Drew Brees as a diminutive quarterback, similar to Russell Wilson. They've always had a stout interior line. So that's what the Seahawks need to start doing. They've got a couple of options. Will Hernandez is a great option, but he's a better run blocker than he is a pass blocker.
I mean, maybe that's what you need with Russell Wilson and his scrambling anyway.
Yeah, good one, Matt.
No, that was a genuine point. That wasn't me having a dig. That was a genuine point. Is actually,
sounded like you're having
you
a
could
dig.
Do with somebody who is a bit more of a road grader anyway.
Yeah, and it would allow them, Hernandez would allow them to get back to what they've always been. I also think when you're in a division with Ndamukong Suh now and Aaron Donald, you need a good sender. And it's a bit of a reach at this point. I would rather trade back and get him, but I'm going to pick Frank Ragnow, who is, again, one of the surface picks in the draft, and he just starts at centre immediately.
Sorry, I'm just updating my list here. Top stuff. So we move on to the Dallas Cowboys. They'll be disappointed with Dez gone. They look a little bit light at wide receiver. They could do with... I think pass rush talent interior. I mean, if there's a good interior defensive tackle, could be good. Linebacker is probably something you need to address in that system. If you don't have Sean Lee in there, you really start to struggle with the way their system works, and he is so constantly injured. But there are lots of tight ends on the board again, and Jason Witten's career is winding down. So, you know, I think there are a few positions that sit on their to-do list, which I think could be addressed at this point.
Matt, where are you playing Justin Britt, by the way, with Seattle?
I always think you can switch one of them to guard. I think both Britt and Ragnow could play guard. I mean, I never understand why people suggest there's such a huge difference.
Dallas could take a wide receiver here, but I know Just from following the Dallas newspapers and from speaking to people who were at the Florida Pro Day, is that Rod Marinelli absolutely loves Florida defensive tackle Taven Bryan. With David Irving potentially going to prison, I think that Taven Bryan, who is going to certainly reminds me of J.J. Watt sometimes, I think he will be the pick here.
It's interesting with the scheme that they play there, that they have got, I think the fact that the guys on the defensive line tend to do a lot of stunts, a lot of movement on that line, which is why the Sean Lee linebacker position is so important. Is he that kind of guy who up front is going to be, are going to be able to move him around, and he is going to be able to do a lot?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And
you first know, step, good and all that stuff that needed.
Absolutely. Listen, he has underachieved a little bit, I think, at Florida, but he flashes big time talent. I mean, this is kind of rare athletic ability. Sometimes you think maybe he doesn't have a feel for the position. Maybe an instinct might be he's still developing as a player, but you know, he played inside at Florida. He can absolutely play outside. He is a disruptive, productive talent with a very, very high ceiling, big kind of burst off the ball, can really, you know, he can collapse a pocket and get to a quarterback. He's a very good player.
Holy.
All right, number 20, Detroit Lions. There are quite a few needs across their roster, but for me, one really does stand out, and that's at running back. They haven't had anyone decent for a couple of years. Had they had a bona fide north to south guy, I think they could have done a bit more than getting to or reaching 9-7 last year. So I would like to be looking at someone like Chubb or Geis or Mikel. But what do you think the Detroit Lions will do, Matt?
I wouldn't be against Sony Michel here because I think he's amazing in every way.
100%.
But I would go for Harold Landry because they need pass rush. I mean, Ziggy Ansah, they've given the franchise tag to, but he's never really healthy. And if you do get him healthy, then you've got a guy here who probably only plays third down in his first year, but that's not the end of the world. They desperately need pass rush. So I would go for Harold Landry because I think you can get a running back in the second, third, fourth round. But Michel would get consideration because he's fantastic.
So the Boston College edge rusher heads to Detroit. The Cincinnati Bengals. Tackles. Have we got any of those still available? Because they might have traded for Cordy Glenn. Can he stay healthy? They've just done terribly with the guys at the top of the draft prior to that. Other than that, they're aging at cornerback, and also a speedy nickel cornerback would be good. Speedy linebacker would be good here. They're always kind of looking at restocking their defensive line, but I'm not sure that's a need at this point. Yeah, there's plenty there for you to work with, Simon.
They do not have a centre on the roster, so therefore the pick is James Daniels of Iowa. They tried to re-sign Russell Bodine, and he left, so there is not a single player who can snap the ball. Daniels is going to remind you of the Pouncey brothers when they were at Florida in terms of their movement ability. I worry about him at the second level, but he's a very, very good pass protector, and that's, you know, and a run blocker, in fact, obviously playing at Iowa. James Daniels for me will be the pick here for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Could we see a run of offensive linemen? Because the number 22, the Buffalo Bills, they've taken in our draft to Lamar Jackson. They need help there anyway. Orlando Brown, someone Oof. Like that. Could Colton Miller, someone like that. Connor Williams, could they go for one of those guys, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely could. And the only thing I was going to say is, should we not do two picks in a row for you guys here so I can pick for the Patriots?
Well, let's just...
We are picking for the Patriots.
I've got a good pick for you, mate, so don't worry.
Great, fine.
He's a little white safety out of Hackensaw State. He's 5'3", 86 pounds. He's got one leg.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there, Ollie. And I've got Lamar Jackson. I've got LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to pick...
I'm going to pick defensive tackle.
Is Incognito retired?
He has, yeah.
Ah, yeah.
So we're going to pick Will Hernandez.
Oh, great pick.
Yeah, All in for that.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. No relation, but wonderful pick.
Why would you be a relation to Will Hernandez?
Why would you be related to someone with the surname Hernandez?
No, Aaron Hernandez.
Okay. I mean, no one was suggesting that there was any relation, but
why would I be related to an Hernandez?
And it's also, you're at the wrong pick. If it was the next pick, that would make some sense. But let's move on to that next pick then. No, you can't pick some expected to be undrafted safety here. There is a lot of there's a lot of defensive line available. Say again?
I've already got the pick here.
All right, fine. Go for it. Run it in.
So the pick will be Marcus Davenport, defensive end out of the University of Texas at San Antonio. I mean, I think the Patriots, and I'm sure Matt would probably agree that back end of last season, or maybe all of last season, that front seven struggled with athletic ability, with speed, with the ability to get to the quarterback, which is why they brought James Harrison in. And you saw in the playoffs, Harrison was pretty much the only person who could get to the quarterback. Injuries to key players didn't help as well. Davenport's got a massive upside, you know, absolutely dominated at that lower level. Came on strong at the back end of Senior Bowl week. So for me, Davenport would be the pick here, knowing that we also have another pick at 31, potentially to take somebody else in that back end.
I mean, for a guy his size as well, in terms of his height, I watched a bit of him the other day, and he can actually bull rush people for a guy who's like 6'5". So, yeah, I think he's great. I think that's a lovely
Belichick
pick.
Belichick likes longer, bigger guys on the end as well. So
happy with that, Shezza?
Yeah, I mean, I would be. It's a difficult one with the Patriots this year because I think they need some guys who can plug in and play immediately. But, I mean, you've also got to look long-term. And I could see the Patriots coaching staff getting the potential out of him, and that's pretty exciting.
There you go.
Panthers are 24. They failed to get Breshad Breeland. Wally left, so there's a need at cornerback. Julius Peppers has signed on for another year, but he's about 91. There's a lot of need across that defensive, across the defense. Running back, after Jonathan Stewart left, they've only got Christian McCaffrey, so do they need a bigger guy going north-south? What are they going to do?
Have they got any wide receivers left, Carolina, other than Funchess?
I don't even think they've got wide receivers left.
I'm going to pick James Washington. I absolutely love this guy. This is a very much my infatuation at the moment, and I was desperate to get him picked somewhere in this first round. I think he's going to be amazing.
You've just decided you're going to throw him in there.
I think he's a first-round talent massively. Like, I don't see any obvious big holes in his game. I love him.
All right, fine. I mean, I think, yeah, with the top two guards off the board, that makes some sense. But I think that's where, surely, after losing Norwell, they're going to try and sort out that line further. But
yeah, but we've kind of lost the real top-tier interior guys, haven't we? They're all being picked, Willie.
The Titans, desperate for probably a consistent edge rusher to help them on that front. They sack numbers were dreadful last year, despite having talent on that front like the Jarrell Caseys of this world. Just having a look through their roster, where else they could do with some help. I mean, they took Corey Davis so high last year that even though wide receiver still looks like somewhere, I guess they'll be hoping to... They'll be hoping that they can get some production out of him. Avery Williamson going means that inside linebacker is right up their list of needs. Is there a linebacker available or an edge rusher still at this point that you like?
Well, there's three names that come to mind. One is Arden Key, but I don't think teams trust him enough to take him in the first round. The second is Sam Hubbard of Ohio State, who can, although doesn't look greatly athletic, greatly is that a word? Doesn't look athletic on tape necessarily, performed very, very well athletically at the combine. Is really going to set the edge, as you know, is going to play run really, really well. But obviously, you know, with Morgan and Arapco aging, you know, their deal, I think they're both free agents after this year. Sam Hubbard is a question. I think it comes down to Hubbard or Leighton Van Der Esch, the middle linebacker from Boise State. And I'm going to say...
The other thing, just to quickly throw in there, is center. If there is another center available, because they've only got Ben Jones there, they could do with both a starter and depth. But
I think with Ragnow going in the fall off to Billy Price, who tore his pectoral muscle at the combine, would concern me putting him in as a plug and play starter in round one. So I'm going to go Leighton Van Der Esch, linebacker, Boise State.
All right,
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, there I think if Rashad Evans pick. If Rashad Evans had still been there, I did like Sam Hubbard as an idea as well. But, yeah, I'm fine with that. Leighton Van Der Esch, the linebacker, in there. Right, Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, with the Dontari Poe leaving, that leaves Jack Crawford to move up into his position. That worries me. Sorry, Jack. I know you're a lovely and great guy. So, could defensive tackle be their prime need? Is there anyone left that could fill that, or will they go elsewhere, Matt?
Daron Payne would fill that perfectly and is a really nice complement to Grady Jarrett as the kind of big guy, little guy combination on the interior. So Daron Payne is the pick for me. I think me and Clance a lot discussed him on the last pod. A guy who really saved his best football for the biggest games at the end of the year. He was awesome in the national championship game. I'm not sure he played at that level all year. I think he's another Taven Bryan type who maybe hasn't played to the level that he can do in college, but I mean, this guy's a physical, ludicrous physical specimen.
And I think getting a guy,
I think that Dimitrov would fall in love with that.
I think getting Payne at this point as well for the Falcons, if he dropped down to there, they'd be pretty delighted with. For the Saints, still not a tight end gone off the board. And we all know that Drew Brees loves a good tight end and Kobe Fleener really hasn't proven to be that. In terms of they've lost wide receiver help as well. And Michael Thomas was brilliant last year, but you can't only have one decent wide receiver on your roster. Tackle is the other thing. Jermaine Bushrod is not really the man for me. A young centre, a young guard, there's plenty of help along that line that could be needed. But I am leaning towards a pass catcher, probably a tight end. What are you saying, Simon?
I mean, it could be a tight end. It could be a quarterback if, let's say, if Lamar Jackson was still on the board. Two quarterbacks, Mason Rudolph would be one that they potentially would look at. The other is Kyle Laletta, because I think Sean Payton would absolutely build an offense around what he does best, as they obviously did with Drew Brees. I think they need linebacker help. But at this point, given how our mock has fallen, I'm not sure the linebacker is there. Malik Jefferson might be the guy. Fred Warner of BYU might be the guy, one of those kind of late risers who could go off here. I'm going to go with Sam Hubbard, the defensive end. I think if Maurice Hurst was healthy, and I think a number of teams have taken him off the board now, and I saw Matt Miller, the very well-respected NFL for Bleacher Report guy, saying that most teams now are talking about Hurst as a day three guy, which is a huge disappointment because he's a top 15 talent for me. If Hurst was on the board, I would have taken him, but I'm going to go with Sam Hubbard, defensive end, Ohio State.
At 28, the Pittsburgh Steelers with the injury to Ryan Shazier last year.
Just to point out there, about the one position I didn't mention was an edge rusher. So we're back into fractured territory, guys. Sorry, go on.
Ryan Shazier's injury last year. There is a big need at inside linebacker, but I don't think there's anyone left at inside linebacker. So could they pick an outside guy and maybe move him inside, move someone else there? Or will they go something completely different? Safety, offensive line. What's going on?
I think Simon's just coughed my pick.
Say it, cough it again, Simon.
Jesse Bates.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, if the board fell like this, it's the obvious pick. I think they'll pick Van Der Esch if he's available, because he is kind of the most like-for-like replacement for Shazier that I think they would find. But, yeah, I mean, he's got great ball skills, hasn't he, Bates? He's just, and that fits what you think of a Pittsburgh Steelers defense, as a guy who can.
And there's very few people rating Bates as a day one guy. He mostly seems to be falling into second, even a couple of third rounds I've seen him going. Is this purely a fit thing, or do you just like him more than most?
He's a really good player. He's one of those players that, because he plays for Wake Forest, people don't, you know, see him a lot. He's the purest and best single high free safety in the draft. He has cornerback ball skills. He's not a ferocious box tackler. He's not a great tackler, but he understands angles. He's just a ball player. And I think Jesse Bates will be a terrific first round pick for somebody.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, I'm not going to say they need a quarterback, even though you all know that we all think it. you're not wrong. I'm not wrong, though, am I? If there's a good swing tackle available, you know, another guard even, despite their line's really interesting because it graded quite highly last year, despite the fact that it's not if there's a good road grading guard there to pair with Norwell, because they're not a good run blocking line at all. They're a better pass blocking line, and they want to be this team that run the ball 30, 35 times a game across two backs. So if that sort of thing is available, their linebacker is a pressing need with Paul Posluszny retiring. If there was a really top-end wide receiver at this point as well, if they brought in Austin Sferrin Jenkins at tight end, but I'm not 100% convinced at that. So none of these are like top tier needs, but there's a lot of positions where they could improve.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you're going to make Blake Bortles better, bit of alliteration for you there. If you're going to make Blake Bortles better, you have to give him better targets. You know, you lose Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. There's a massive void at wide receiver. The concern here would be for me, Christian Kirk, Anthony Miller, DJ Moore would be the three guys. But they have a lot of guys of a similar height. Do they need an outside guy like a Cortland Sutton? Or is there a wild card in the first round like Equanimeous St. Brown of Notre Dame, 6'5", 214 pounds? It might be a bit early for him, but I could absolutely see that potentially happening. But I am, and as much as I like Moore and Kirk and Miller, I'm going to go with Cortland Sutton of SMU.
Can I just ask, when it comes to the inside of the line, if it fell to this point, because a lot of people have Isaiah Wynn going in the first round, and maybe he could be the pick to the Vikings up next.
I mean, he definitely is going to be I can tell you that, right?
Well, in which case, I'll let you talk about him when you talk about the Vikings, Ollie.
Yeah. Vikings.
They could do with a guard, I reckon.
I think they could do with a guard, Matt. I'm steering you in that direction.
I think they could do with upgrades at virtually every position on their offensive line. And Wynn, to me, I mean, Wynn played left tackle at college in the SEC at a high level, so I'm not really sure whether everyone says he's going to be a guard, but I think that you draft him and kind of give him training camp, try him in a few spots and accept that he'll almost certainly be good in one, but he's the perfect pick for the Vikings. I mean, they need help everywhere, and they could bring somebody like Wynn in and try him in different spots, and he might improve right tackle. Riley Reiff didn't actually play that well last year, but you'd think he'd bounce back, and certainly I think both left guard and right guard are open to him as well.
We haven't had a defensive back taken in a very long time, because we've had a lot taken at the top of the board, and I think that's most people's feeling on this defensive back group. But the Patriots, I don't know if you noticed in the Super Bowl, could probably have done with some help at defensive back and have lost Malcolm Butler now as well. Should I be handing this over to Sherry to talk about this pick? Or
I mean, they don't need a cornerback as much as people think. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
I'll trade you.
They really don't. Gilmore was fantastic the second half of last season, one of the best cornerbacks in the league during that stretch. His name has escaped me. The other cornerback who got torched by Jeffrey in the first half of the Super Bowl.
The other cornerback who plays for your team has escaped.
I've just completely gone blank on his
There's
name.
A lot the of guy that's going around his head right now.
Eagles. He's a starting cornerback. Clancy, who is it? Traded for the Eagles.
I mean, are we talking about Eric Rowe? Are we talking about
Yeah. So they've got Eric Rowe, and they've got Jonathan Jones, who's a very good slot cornerback, and they've signed Jason McCourty, who was one of the best 15 to 20 cornerbacks in the NFL last year. I mean, I don't see cornerback as a need really at all. Linebacker's a huge need, but most of those guys are off the board. So I'll let Clancy make his pick with the final comment that the fifth-year option on a quarterback is an extremely valuable thing. So you may reach for one here and accept that you can get your linebackers and that in the second round.
This is really a tough one. I mean, this is really a tough one because, you know, if Jair Alexander or Mike Hughes fell this far, you'd have people jumping. You know, there are always trades at the back end. Arden Key is another name that you think the Patriots could probably overcome some of those issues. You know, I'm not saying it's a need, but there's guys like Austin Corbett who's going to go in the first round that have fallen here. I'm torn, Matt, between a kind of a Nathan Shepherd, the big defensive tackle from Fort Hays State, and potentially.
You know who I would pick is Maurice Hurst, because
of course, but you know, I'm pretty sure that that's not going to happen realistically. I would run up to the podium. The name that comes to me a lot is Kyle LaLetta, and I wonder whether or not you take a quarterback here, given that you've got four picks in the first you know, first two rounds, and whether or not you just take a flyer on a quarterback here, or Mason Rudolph. I mean, I'm almost going to leave it to you to choose which quarterback.
I would pick Lauletta here, because I think there's huge value in the 50-year option, and you found that out with Garoppolo. I mean, I don't think Brady will play another 5 years, but if he does, you don't want to repeat that situation. And Jimmy Garoppolo would still be with the Patriots now, had they selected him in the first round. So
there you go then.
Valuable, and I think Lauletta's the best scheme fit by a mile.
Richmond quarterback, Kyle Lauletta, and we ended up with that sixth quarterback going in the first round. Well done, everybody. Finally, the Philadelphia Eagles. Ollie, take us home.
They've been really busy in the off-season, but there's one particular area that I think that worries me for them, and that's running back.
I was going to say, is it running back because J.H.I. is not as good as... I didn't say it.
Yes, he's not that's good. Why. And he's not very good. But
he's a nicer man since he left Miami, which is nice.
Well, exactly. And I think it was just a toxic atmosphere in that horrendous locker room in Miami. So
100%. 100%.
So, I don't think there's any blame for Jay there in any way whatsoever. But I think with a couple of running backs still left on the board, that could be an option for them. Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing that. I'm going to select Jair Alexander, who, if still available at this point, as Clancelot says, will have about 20 teams trying to trade for him. Patrick Robinson, who was really good for them in the slot last year, signed for the Saints. I think they could do with an upgrade at cornerback, because Darby's decent, but I don't think he's as good as people suggest. So, yeah, I would take Alexander in a heartbeat and just watch the greatest collection of talent I've ever seen on an NFL team get there.
Congratulations, Louisville. Two picks in the first round. Now, normally what we do at this point in our mock draft is we have a quick conversation about the two, three teams, however many it is, who don't have a first round pick. But you know what? Los Angeles, Kansas City, Houston, it's your fault you don't have a first round pick. So we're not talking about you.
Rams.
We're not talking about you. Brilliant stuff, guys. We'll be back together all on Friday morning to do this all again. Don't forget, if you head to @Gridiron on Twitter right now, there is still the opportunity to join us for our draft party with Visit Dallas and Visit Fort Worth on Thursday evening. We're doing a live podcast and a Q&A. It's going to be really good fun. Just reply to the tweet and tell us why it should be you, essentially. So, touchdown trips. There are two trips we've got in mind. They're just getting priced up. We're getting all the ticket information, etc. They both look like fantastic trips. Can't give any spoilers away, I'm afraid, at the moment. But we will have something for you later this week, hopefully. And we'll be joined on the show by Ben Mortimer to run through that and let you know exactly what it's going to involve. Don't forget, the draft, as you're watching, it is being held in the brilliant Dallas and Fort Worth. Head to visitdallas.com and fortworth.com to find out more information if you're thinking about taking a trip out there. It's well worth it. And if you are thinking about taking a trip out there to see a game, to see basketball, to see the Rangers in the baseball, whatever it might be.
MLS out there as well.
You should do it with touchdown trips.
100% you should.
Synergy.
Love, Ben.
Follow Twitter @Gridiron on Thursday night. The guys will be tweeting from their little mini draft party around at Shez's house. Ollie, final thoughts?
I didn't get an invite for that.
Yeah, no, neither did I, mate. Don't worry.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's a disgrace.
It's classic. Must have missed that email as well.
Top stuff.
That'll be on my gravestone. He must have missed that one. That email. Brilliant.
Yeah. Must have missed that email. Must have missed that train. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Gridiron Show. Bye.
So dark.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.